Sinistra. Terra.
Today's episode is brought to you by Balulu Studios. Balulu Studios is a small event space located in Savannah, Georgia. For more information, visit BlululuStudios.com. That's B-U-L-U-L-U Studios.com.
Hello, this is Kevin. Welcome to the 10 Frame and our last episode of the Augusta Files. This was a four-part series that included conversations with Matt Porter, Edward Rice, Chadwick Tully, and Franklin Delgado. This is a recording of the conversation that Kelly and I had with Franklin Delgado at his Augusta studio. Learn more about his work by visiting franklindelgado.com. I also invite you to follow Kelly and me on Instagram. You can follow Kelly's work at Kelly K. Thompson Art, and my account is Kevin Will Paint.
Franklin, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us about your work. We're looking at several large, beautiful pieces here, and it's a pleasure being able to come into your space and see your work in person. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Right off the bat, you can let people know where they can find your work online?
Yes. So my Instagram page is Franklin Delgado Artist. And my website is franklindelgado.com.
Awesome. If you can just explain what kind of work you do, the medium, size, you know, what your practice looks like right now.
Yeah, so right here in the studio, you see a small sample of several drawings that I've been working on for the past few years. And in fact, since I came to the States, it was interesting because I came for an MFA in painting and ended up leaving SCAD doing a lot of drawing. I found that transition very interesting. The drawings that you see here are a combination of charcoal and graphite drawings, and they're done with powder, pencil as well. And they're all portraits as a subject matter and some human figure as well. One of the things that I'm trying to pursue while working with these works is, well, if you can see the piece on the back, there was a piece that I did of my daughter when I was at SCAD. In fact, it started the whole thesis writing when I was there.
It's a large, it's maybe like 4 feet by 6 feet.
Yes.
Drawing.
Yes. Right? That's a charcoal piece, and it's okay. A portrait of my daughter. At the time, we were going through that transition of having our first child. And every day that I'll come home, my wife will be reading to me what was developing at that time.
Yeah.
And I just found that process of life so life-changing and fascinating. And I kind of like tried to link the qualities of the charcoal powder at that time to that small cell and that minute life that was evolving over time, and try to make that connection between the medium that I had and how my work evolves over time and it becomes something else from there. So it's kind of like the combination of time and marks that create something beautiful in life and also in my work as well.
I think I remember when I took Steve Knudsen's class, I think it was the first part of the thesis class. I think your thesis paper was one of the examples that he used in the class. I remember the image, and I think I also remember some of the text that went along with it, and very well combined the two and your process. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you did also talk about the birth of your child. Is that correct?
Yes, at the time I was trying to, well, it's good that you mentioned Steve. He was such an influential professor at that time for me. He was not teaching me only the technical part, but he was trying to like ask the right questions during critiques. And when we had an individual conversation about what the work is about, like that idea, right? And what is the significance of the things that you do and the way in which you create your work as well. So it was interesting because I came and I studied English as a second language for the first year at SCAD. And at the time that I traveled, I thought my English was good enough, but it wasn't. Once you talk about art, there's a lot of technical things, especially when you talk about philosophy or things that Steve might bring to the forefront in our conversation. So,
and there might be also different reference points mm-hmm. from what you bring to the table, mm-hmm. like might not translate literally like translation over to what you're trying to talk about, or mm-hmm. even the learning experience that could be challenging.
It was challenging, but yeah. beautiful at the same yeah. time. I think the way he taught it was just so interesting. Mm-hmm. And Scott has people at the library that they help you as well with your writing. So I was able to use all those resources. And I felt like that whole process helped me grow a lot more as a person. And so, yes, the writing process for the thesis was just as beautiful as creating the work.
Right on. Mm-hmm.
What led the transition from painting to drawing? Was drawing always something you had in your toolkit, or was this a new development when you got into the academic program?
Yeah, so I was taking advanced life painting from life classes with Roger Walton and with Greg as well. And I felt like I brought a certain set of skills from Honduras that I tried to treasure as much as I could. So I was doing painting from life. I will drive in Atlanta, Tybee Island, and go and find these places and then try to represent what I saw. That whole section for me was also new. So I was inspired by the landscape, the city. There's so much culture and richness that I've never seen before.
What was it like in Honduras where you grew up? Like in Savannah, it's low country, lots of marshes, proximity to the ocean is, you know, it's right there. What was it like in Honduras?
So Honduras is mountains.
Where you were at?
It's mountains all over the place. And I guess that sensitivity to nature was mm-hmm. there, but I couldn't find the right words to express it, even with my own words or through the art yeah. itself. So there's a lot of mountains, and I would find myself trying to remember little moments of beauty that I will find in the landscape. Mm-hmm. But the landscape was completely different in that sense. It was less of a city. I will call it kind of like a village, kind of like untouched beauty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you got to Savannah, you were inspired by all this new mm-hmm. visual experiences and also culture and different communities, and you were drawing from life and painting from life. Is that kind of what you were getting at?
Yes. At that point, I was just attracted to trying to render something as close as I could, but there was nothing behind it. And I've learned through my time at SCAD that you need to think deeply about the immensity of things at times. So I study a lot about the sublime, for example, and with Steve, and we will read a lot of very complicated texts about it. And we had really good conversations about the immensity of existence in that sense. And I think that through that process of getting new knowledge and new experiences at SCAD, I was able to create what I have been working in the past, I would say, 6 to 7 years.
So what the pieces we're looking at now are all larger than life by a large degree. Did you always have the ambition to paint or draw or render in this scale? Or is this something as you were working that kind of was an organic process? Out of this, that's obviously technically beautifully rendered. Mm-hmm. And then difference in scale from life. also adds another level of complexity there. And then you, when you talk about studying the sublime or philosophical aspects that you're kind of in, embedding into these pieces, how did that, the idea to make it that size, come about?
Yeah, so we studied during some courses, and Steve wrote a whole essay, he probably mentioned it to you, about the three components that you should have in a work of art: intensity, complexity, and unity. So the intensity for me goes in that part, on the scale part. I visited the Hyde Museum of Art in Atlanta, I remember, at one time, and I was able to see the work of Chuck Close, for example, and those pieces are
pretty special stuff.
Very intense.
Yeah.
So I like things that he mentioned, that a work of art or a portrait is a road mark of a person experiences, right? And I think that translating that into something that is larger or bigger than yourself allows you to create small homages within the greatness of a work of art, or I guess the scale of a work of art. And it just allows me to again, put that intensity that I mentioned before, that complexity as well. And towards the end, I feel like the unity between the medium and the subject matter kind of like reads through the works themselves too. The pieces that you see, for example, the one of my grandmother, that one there, and this piece right here, that's titled Inner Immensity, and The Triumph of Love on the back. So most of the titles were based on a book by Alain Badiou. The title of the book is In Praise of Love, and he was talking about how the role of an artist should be to treasure things like friendship and love and things that relate to goodness, and treasure them and at times make it part of your work if possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That definitely comes through. And I, the intensity also seems to be in the gaze, whether it's looking at you or away. Even the ones that are, you're looking at them in profile, like they're in contemplation, or they're maybe staring off in the distance, but I think that adds to the intensity as well.
Yes. They don't read as big in this space as they do in my other space.
I mean, this is a big space. So.
I recently had an exhibition at Candle Fine Art right across from Westerbu.
With Drake.
Yes, with Drake. What a wonderful guy. And I had a piece that was about 10 feet long by 55 inches wide, so it was more like a horizontal composition. So I feel like I'm getting more comfortable working at this scale, and I'm finding it also more interesting. I've also done some figure drawings similar to the one that you see over there that are life-size. Those were also inspired by the work of Andrew Wyeth. I've been looking at some of his work, and especially that Helga series that he did, and I just find that very inspiring.
Nice.
How do you navigate such a large piece, especially working with charcoal? For me, it's fairly unforgiving. I get fingerprints all over everything. It's, you know, it's smudges. And, you know, when you're working at this scale, do you have it up on the wall? Is it on a table? How do you navigate this big space and keeping things clean and where they're supposed to be?
Yes, it was funny because when I was in Savannah, I had my friend Zach Featherbush. I don't know if you guys know him yet, but he was the artist that was right next to me. We were completely different. I would be working with, like you say, something that is hard to control, but I was able to keep my studio as clean as I could. And he was completely opposite, but we had a great relationship. In fact, I did a portrait of him as well, and Marcus Dunn. So, yes, I think I also wrote about that. That is, charcoal is a unruly kind of like material, and it's, I find that fascination, if you notice, to have the figures isolated from the background and having the background being completely clean and neat, while the figures carry all the medium, and they almost become kind of like a in a way, in the opposite, on the other ones, in which I can have backgrounds that are done with the powder, creating a silhouette that is completely dark with the lightness of the model in this case, or the person that I'm portraying, and in other ones in which the graphite is like placed in a very subtle way, in which the background becomes almost an aid for the light to be part of it, and playing around with qualities of drawing like that in the pieces.
Do you work from photographs? And if you do, do you have models that you work with? Is it a session, a photography session that you're making the work from?
Yes, I work, all the pieces that I create are from people that I know. Uh-huh. So mostly family members, friends. I will hire models. I did that mostly in Savannah. Or I will go outside and paint from life or draw from observation. So it's a combination of that. And yes, it'll be a photo session that I will as well try to control as much as I can the lighting to get a specific effect or a specific image that I envisioned from the beginning.
These pieces also look very time intensive. How long does it take to do something? Let's just take this one, for example, the figure with the dark background.
That piece, I think I have about 100 hours will be what I would spend in a piece. When I was a student at full time, I was putting 8 hours, no problem. Taking a 4 hour session, then a break, and then another 4 hour session, sometimes more. And now it's a little bit different because I'm trying to balance my teaching at Davidson Fine Arts in my studio time and my family time as well. So time changes, but I always find sessions of about 4 hours would be a good session to do some progress that is meaningful.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting a much higher number. I was, 100 hours in a painting for me is nothing. I'm sure over time you've gotten more efficient at certain things, but the level of detail just looks, it's meticulous. Mm-hmm. I can see that taking some time.
Are you familiar with Gonzalo Fuenmayer? He also does charcoal drawings. And
no, I'm not.
The level of intensity is apparent in his work also. Mm-hmm. And I had to look it up real quick while we were talking, but you might be interested in it. Just he does larger drawings like what you're up to, mm-hmm. but totally different subject matter, but just the professionalism and the execution of the drawings is similar.
The medium of charcoal and drawing itself has become very popular, at least in the 10 years that I've been working in this medium. Maybe because I'm new to the country, but I see it more often being used as a form of art, and I think the scale has also become something that artists are finding more
like inspired to do or leaning towards that world.
Yes, exactly.
Gonzalo's work is maybe surrealism, mm-hmm. But I'll text it to you. I'm curious about the paper that you use or what's the material that you draw onto.
Yes, I use Stonehenge paper. I buy it from Legion Paper from New York. They're really good at sending rolls of... the rolls that I buy right now are 10 yards by 50 inches wide.
Is that a smooth paper? Does it have a lot of tooth to it?
It's like a medium texture, which is great because it holds a lot of material.
How do you keep it? I know we're asking a lot of technical questions, but I'm curious.
Yes.
No, both of us sketch and do drawing. What kind of a fixative do you use? Do you do it at the very end of a piece, or do you do it intermittently while you're working on it?
I do it right at the end, yes. And I use the La Croix is the brand, and Saint Helier will have a good brand as well that will have a good fixative that I never go back to the drawings as I finish, but I know that there's some fixatives that you can rework them. But I use, as you can see, plexiglass to keep the drawings after they've been fixed as safe as I can.
And is that immediate, that you put them under plexiglass pretty much right after you fix them?
Yes, if I'm working for an exhibition, yes. Otherwise, I would have the like in my house right now, I have a lot of works that I have in a big tube, and I keep them like that until I'm ready to frame them or to use the plexiglass as well.
And they're safe once you fix them to roll like that?
Yes, they are. Usually the way I roll them, I keep them kind of like very wide so that they don't warp or nothing happens to the paper itself. The paper is also very strong, heavy white paper. The framing and the plexiglass kind of creates like that good environment for the drawing to remain as I created it.
I like the use of a white frame, also seems to not detract from the piece, even mm-hmm. if the background is dark. It just seems the least obtrusive, maybe.
Yes, there are some works that I try to keep that subtleness of the medium, so the graphite becomes kind of gray and very light. But at times I've used frames in which I have more dark values for the charcoal that is a lot bolder, and black frames seem more elegant and kind of like relate a little bit more to it. So it kind of depends on what I'm working on. But usually once I'm working for something in a show, I try to like get everything as close as possible to unify as much as I can.
You mentioned Drake's gallery, and you just mentioned some shows. Do you have anything that you're working towards now, or is there a way that people can purchase your work?
Yeah, so the show at Kendall Fine Art was from December the 1st to January 15th. So mm-hmm. it just happened. So I'm kind of like in that transition of
sure.
finishing up something big. I'm working on a group exhibition at Mason Fine Art in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah.
I have been showing work with a group of artists that I met at the Mocha, Georgia. They did an exhibition a couple of years ago for Latin American artists. Uh-huh. And after that exhibition, I met a group of other Latin American artists in Atlanta, and we've been showing work on several places within the Georgia area.
There's an organization called Soy Como Soy in Savannah.
Oh, really?
And it's primarily Latinos, but mm-hmm. or Latinas and Latinos. And I don't know, that's a good networking mm-hmm. community. I'll send you that too. Just, they do shows in Savannah at the Cultural Center.
Diego, is he still a part of that now that he's...
Yeah, Diego. Up?
Diego Cardenas.
Who else? Autumn Gary. Just local Savannah artists, and I don't know. I'll share it with you later.
Yeah, so that is the show that I'm working on right now. The city, well, you just came from Westwood. They often would have like group shows that they will...
It's a great venue.
Exactly, yeah. It's a beautiful space. So I'm trying to work on things that might fit really well as a group exhibition with these people that I've met mm-hmm. recently.
And they're a figure, I'm guessing, right? They're a people, like portraits.
That group is very interesting because everybody's mm-hmm. doing completely different work. And what they're trying to put together is how, which I find it very beautiful, that it doesn't matter where you're from, if you're a creative person, that language comes through the work, I guess. But the work itself is very, very mixed and different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess I made that assumption because we're looking at these beautiful portrait, you know.
Yeah, you will have people doing some realism, surrealism as well, some abstract expressionism as well. It's interesting.
Great. Mm-hmm.
There's also a range of realism also in your work that I notice. You have your child behind you that to me is, I would call it hyper-realistic.
You know, it's a photograph.
It looks like a blown-up photograph.
It's amazing.
It's hyper-realistic. And then you have others that are more subtle. Does that conversation happen in your head when you're thinking about how you want the final piece to be? Is that part of the philosophical angle to what you're doing?
Yeah, and I'm glad that you are able to see that this is a mix of two bodies of work. The one that I left Savannah from will be that image of my grandmother on the front and the drawing of my daughter on the back, and then that portrait and this one as well. The two new pieces that you see about the same size. When I created the initial work for my thesis exhibition, I was trying to get as technical as I could and then to say a lot with a lot of intensity of marks. If you get close to that figure, you would see all the hatching, and I'm leaving the hatching visible so that you can see my decisions when I'm creating the form, when I'm working around, I don't know, an ear, a nose, the lips, so you can see how everything is built. But at the same time, the combination of so many marks makes it look almost as if it's a photograph. But I was trying to resemble drawing more than photography on my newest pieces. So that's why working from observation has helped a lot, putting a lot of the works that I have for the exhibition, for example, at Kendall were small landscapes that I did that I would have 30 minutes to complete. So there is an urgency on the mark making and tried to represent the essence of what I'm looking at. And then some of that is being translated onto the drawings as well, trying to say a lot with very little. In this case, using more of the light to show that. So it's kind of shifting into something that is more subtle as well, but at the same time, with those realistic characteristics that I admire in this medium.
Yeah, I appreciate that, the subtle shift. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, I guess, as an artist, when you mature, you know that you have that ability to render something in a photorealistic way. But the decision making after that, to kind of push and pull the surface to convey something maybe a little deeper, that's kind of a process that evolves in you as an artist.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's something that comes with time. You need those experiences. So every piece that you create is important because it takes you somewhere. And I feel like being outside of school, for example, and being being part of exhibitions, rather there, even if there are group exhibitions or solo shows, allows you to see your work there and then to think about it and think how it's fitting within the conversation that you're having. Let's say, for example, in the city of Augusta and in Atlanta as well, and how everything is working within the environment in which you're located.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that you're an educator, correct?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how that may influence your work?
Yes. Yeah, so I teach advanced courses at a beautiful school. It's called Davidson Fine Art. The students that I work with are extremely talented and very smart as well. A lot of them, I was very lucky to teach with Steve Knudsen Foundation Study courses for my TA class for oil-based media exploration, and I also had Sharon Deems for color theory. And the students that I have are that caliber of students. They're very talented. So
What age range?
They're in high school.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so high school courses. I teach, for example, AP Art and Design, which is a class that, it's a studio-based class. So you have a lot of variety of students doing work at a wide variety of mediums as well as subject matter. So that keeps me sharp. It keeps me sharp, definitely, because I have to read a lot about things that they're producing so that I can give good feedback, not just technically, but also about the ideas behind the work, the significance, again, how things fits within the experiences that they're having. At times I find myself impressed by their ability to self-reflect on such a young age and create works of art and the way that they're doing it, it's beautiful. It's mm-hmm. beautiful to see it.
Is that what brought you to Augusta?
Yes.
The teaching at that school, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, Kevin and I were having this conversation before, too, about how being a teacher and educator helps you be able to express or articulate about your own work better.
Yes.
Because you're constantly kind of going through those repetitions and that process during class or whatever.
Yes. So
are you learning also from your students some of that self-reflection? And
yes, definitely. And I think something that I took from my professors at SCAD is that they were all producing all the time, even though they were also teaching. So I found that interesting, because as a teacher, you're like telling people what to do. It'll be weird if you don't do the things that you're asking them to do. So I like that. It keeps you humble. It keeps you working, and because you're serving as an example for another person, so you should be that light, I guess, that is bringing this knowledge. And it's beautiful to see their progression, definitely.
Well, your students are also lucky to have an instructor who's as talented and has such a mastery of his craft.
Thank you.
As you. But you may want to, you know, make sure you get a signed copy of a couple, you know, maybe one of your students, have them sign at least one piece each, because you never know. It could be worth something someday.
Yes, I definitely have some students that they're impressive. Some of them are at SCAD now, and some of them are going to other colleges to study art as well as for their careers. And yeah.
Do you think that Augusta's home, or are there places that, I know it's home for now, but maybe my question is, what's on the horizon for you? Like, what do you hope to see in the future?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I miss Savannah, definitely.
Oh, cool.
I miss Savannah. But there's certain beauty also about Augusta that I find interesting. I listened to the conversation that you guys had, for example, with Chase Lanier, and he was talking about the things that the city offered to artists. And in that sense, so far, that has been helpful for me. Working with these galleries and people like Matt and other artists like Ed Rice, like you mentioned before, Jay Jacobs. It's a good community of artists creating. And there's beauty in that. I don't know if Augusta will be our final place to call it home.
But you're living and loving it, you know, enjoying the moment while you're here.
So far, yes. But there are certain aspects of Savannah that I do remember with as good memories, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask a little bit about your work outside. I mean, in plein air, you seemed like you do some landscapes. You still do that kind of work. Do you do any of the plein air competitions?
No competitions. The only competition that I've been at, in fact, you mentioned Anila Aga from Augusta University. Such an incredible experience with Anila. When I wasn't studying in Savannah, I had a picture of her work. And Adonna Kerr, also another artist that was using charcoal at that time.
Yeah.
My wife is from Michigan, so up in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, there's a competition titled Art Prize, and Anila was the winner of that.
Okay.
And she won the public award and the jurid award as well. And I was part of a competition there for Art Prize, and right. It was just a great experience to be on that. But nothing for plein air yet. Everything that I do for that will be for exhibitions that I put together. On my most recent show at Candle, I had 32 small drawings. They're all 10 by 10, and they all range from 1 hour to 30 minutes to 10 minutes to 5 minutes and so on. It depends on what I wanted to pick at that time.
Great. Yeah, the reason I asked is I know there are a lot of opportunities. There seems like there's more all the time for artists who like to work outside to do these plein air competitions. And a couple of friends of mine do that as well and really enjoy it, just the camaraderie of being able to paint outside with other people and being in the beauty of nature and all that. So,
and it kind of brings you back to seeing artists like Monet and like I mentioned before, Andrew Wyeth with the snow doing a painting out there. It's just something else, you know, because you get a lot of information at once, and it's interesting to see how you translate what you see into what you do through your marks.
And also, they're like you said, you were talked about the urgency when yes. you're doing something quickly. Well, when you're outside, you if you want to capture the light, you know, you have to work quickly because yes. it changes all the time.
Yes.
And unless you're planning on just doing a sketch and then photographing and taking back to your studio, you know, have to make decisions quickly. And, you know, it is what it is when you're done. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
I find that something that, I mean, I like that in my work. I don't do it enough, but Savannah has a lot of opportunities to do that too. There's so many great outdoor spaces.
Yes. Yes. I spent some time in Tybee Island doing a lot of plein air painting. I was looking for more organic things on the landscape, but rather than the architecture at that time. Mm-hmm.
You have to get really good at painting live oak trees and Spanish moss.
Yes.
To cover bricks. Everything. Bricks, yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to thank you again for letting us come to your studio and learn more about your work. And I look forward to what you're doing in the future.
So yes.
I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.